If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's a brand new best podcast in baseball recorded at Busch Stadium with the great, the enthusiastic, the enjoyable, the wonderful storyteller, Polo Asensio, the Spanish language voice of the Cardinals, who you can listen to on WIJR 880 AM in St. Louis. But hold on, we're going to talk about catchers, we're going to talk about the style of play, and Polo is going to go deep into what it meant for the Cardinals to take 2 of 3 from the Dodgers, who he knows so well. All of that in a brand new best podcast in baseball. Cue the music.
Hola, ¿qué tal, amigos? Bienvenidos a el mejor podcast en béisbol. Mi nombre es Polo Asensio y el día de hoy soy el invitado de mi compadre, mi gran amigo Derek Gould, San Luis Post Dispatch. So, ahí está la entrada, lo que querías, Derek. Ahora sí, ¿vamos a hablar de béisbol o hablemos de lo que tú quieras?
That was beautiful. That was perfect. Thank you. Thank you very much. Let's go. All right, thank you. That, of course, is Polo Asensio. You know that. I'm Derek Gould, baseball writer at the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, as Polo said.
I know. I just said that.
I know you did.
I did. In Spanish.
I know. You said it beautifully. It was great.
Well, thank you.
Like, that was like one take, and you nailed it. I'm very impressed.
You know, not to brag about what I do, but I'm really...
Oh, go ahead, brag.
I'm really good at this. Like for real. Like sometimes when I call something, I black out. I don't know if you ever, I mean, I know it's different, right, when you write because you actually are thinking. And when I'm calling the game, I'm not thinking. And I think that's what makes my style and what I do a little different and maybe even special, right? I don't plan anything. Mm-hmm. Just whatever comes, whatever I feel. If I feel something, and luckily I've kept it clean most of the time. One time I did say a bad word that rhymes with fudge. When the Angels came here back in 2019, the first time Albert came back. Mm-hmm. So everybody was excited. Albert is here. The Angels are here. Trout is here. Our team was doing great or doing good. And so Albert. Okay, cool. The very first pitch, right before the first pitch, the tornado alarms, you know, going with the, mm-hmm, with the times right now, the tornado alarms sounded here in the stadium. For me, I live in California. We don't have tornadoes. We have earthquakes, right, and other things, and fires. But we don't have tornadoes, at least not where I live, in Central California. So I was excited. I was ready. And then the alarm, wah, went on. And I'm like, what the fudge is that? And I'm like, okay, good thing I'm in Spanish and not English, because I said it in English. But yeah, no, I don't like to brag, but I think that what we do here, what I do here, it's pretty good. It's not bad.
What's it been like this season? I wanted to talk to you. Of course, you do the Spanish language broadcast for the Cardinals in home games, and we all hope that those expand to the road games here and, you know, take on, especially as they start playing important games. If they can stay in this race and they start playing important games, they do have a San Diego LA series there late in August that could be an October preview. If this continues to play out this way, that'd be great to have you there. The season closes at Wrigley. I can't imagine a better place to probably to have you call a game in Spanish for there than Wrigley. If that's how this season goes, that would be pretty spectacular. But in the here and now, this team is playing an entertaining brand of baseball. How does that play into what you just described as the way you call games, the way you like to call games? A lot of close games, a lot of athletic plays, a lot of balls in play because they're not putting a whole lot of baseballs out of play. How does that play into how you like to broadcast, and how is this year playing out that may be different than recent years?
I have been enjoying it very much. Like, just like anybody who covers baseball and a team, either if you work for the team or you just cover it for other entities or a different company, baseball is fun. And it's even better when you're winning. And the last couple of years, even the last season, people forget that we finished with the winning record. It was a different kind of baseball. It was a little more slow kind of baseball. I don't know. It's like the guys didn't have an identity. And right now, little by little and slowly but surely, we are learning that this team is exciting. It's like we've seen them come back. In the last, 23, 24, if we were down 3-0 in the first, second innings, we're like, okay, we're done. But now we could be down 7 in the second, third inning, and we know that there's going to be a fight. And to me, that started back in Boston. Even though I don't remember the score. It was like 18-2 or 18-3. And at the end, the guys in the ninth inning came back and scored 5 runs. To me, yes, we lost the game. But it showed that they were not just going to stand there and swing like crazy and get out and let's go home. So to us, as broadcasters, that is very important. And this team right here, I mean, yeah, talk about Nolan, Mason Wynn, Brandon Donovan, by the way, vote for Donnie to get him to the All-Star game. Because I talked about it with him. And I don't know if you know this, but Donnie speaks a little bit of Spanish. Mm-hmm. That's the other thing that I love here with some of the players for the Cardinals. And we talk a lot. We text a lot. We message a lot. And I told them, hey, hermano, we need to create a campaign around you. I mean, nothing against anybody else, but I do believe that you deserve to be in Atlanta. And he was very gracious and grateful for my words. And he said, if I go, you go. So send us both to Atlanta. So when you have that kind of guy out there playing, and Nolan, right? Nolan, we know the bat is different. It's not clicking the way we want it to click. But when it comes out to defense, he's been playing great defense. And maybe he's trying to compensate a little. But that's the kind of baseball that we want to call. And it's just all around from 1 to 26, 27, even 30, because, the players, they come and go. Everybody's exciting. Burley's in. Like, if you see Burley, you don't think he's an outfielder. You don't think he's an athlete. But that guy is a real athlete. Mm-hmm. Like, when you look at him and the way they work hard at it, to me, that's very important. Victor Scott, even in Lars, that, struggling, with hitting and all that. But when they go out there on the field to play defense, they play great defense. And for me, as a broadcaster, I need to make sure that whatever spectacular play they make, I need to be ready to call it as I see it and make sure that I do like what I do goes with the play. And at the end, that's important for me because I need to tell the fans at home or anywhere they're listening what's going on. And if I get excited, I hope they also get excited.
The Cardinals 2-1 win against the Dodgers there. All of the runs coming in the later innings. Both of the runs basically on plays where the ball didn't leave the infield there, the first two runs, and then, of course, the walk-off win by Arenado with a sacrifice fly. Where's that game rank as far as the most compelling that you've seen and the most compelling that you've called?
It was a different game to me. And let me tell you something here. And where we work, our booth. So there's different booths here at Busch Stadium. The one we have was designed to be the visiting team's English radio. Once we got here, Benji Molina, myself, doing the Spanish radio for the Cardinals, we were in a different booth, with no windows. Mm-hmm. On the sides, just a window in front of us. But then with time, we got the bigger booth and, a little more space for us. So we just happened to be right next to the visiting TV booth. And there's no wall. There's a window between us. So I can see when anybody is there that visits, I can see them and sometimes I can hear them. And let me tell you, if I can hear them, I make sure that they can hear me.
Okay.
Yeah. It's not a competition, but it is a competition.
Yeah.
And that game you were talking about, I mean, this, and I worked with the Dodgers for so many years. I grew up a Dodger fan. And when the Dodgers come to town, to me, that's exciting to see a lot of friends, the bad boys, the managers, the coaches, the broadcasters, some of the players still, well, Kershaw and Kike, perhaps. Kike Hernandez. Other than that, everybody's new. So when we're calling that game, it was six innings of very slow baseball, right? We were waiting for the Dodgers to explode and do something crazy. They didn't. Our pitchers basically had them there. And I will be looking to my left, and Oral Hershiser, who's doing TV for the Dodgers, looks at me, and he's putting his hands like he's going to sleep. He's, you know, writing signs, putting on the window, do you have a pillow? I'm falling asleep with this game. But then the eighth inning happened, right? When the eighth inning happened, I woke up, and I looked at them, and he looks at me. I'm like, did I wake you enough with me screaming and cheering? Not so much cheering, but it was great baseball to me. I mean, we had six, seven innings of pitching, of defense, and then at the end, like you said, the plays that turned or that brought the runs in were crazy plays, and that's baseball. You know, that's baseball. That baseball's a little crazy, and it was exciting. And yes, I do have some special teams in my heart that when I call against them, I make sure I put a little extra jalapeño, you know, algo caliente, something spicy. Mm-hmm. So because I know their fans that know me, they're friends of mine, are listening to me. So I want them to know that, yes, you know, at one point I was with you guys. I was part of that. But now I'm here in St. Louis, and all my heart, my energy, my efforts, my family visiting, we are here with the St. Louis Cardinals. And those, not just that game, it was very compelling, but the whole series, it was a lot of fun. And the next series, I mean, every single series, every single game, it's a lot of fun. But when it comes down to the L.A. Dodgers, the San Diego Padres, and yes, I have learned to dislike. I'm not going to use the word hate. I have learned to dislike those teams and also the Chicago Cubs.
Well, you know that. I mean, you know the Dodgers well. Obviously, all the people are. I mean, what did the Cardinals do in that weekend? I mean, they took 2 of 3. Was it just 2 of 3? Was it just a normal series? Did they do something else? Did they benefit from the Dodgers going from here to San Diego, a division series against their clear rival? Are the Cardinals forgotten the moment they leave town? Or did the Cardinals do something in that series, either for how the National League views them, how we should view them, how fans should view them? What do you think?
I think they did. I think we did. It's like, and this is something that we talked about with our manager, Oliver Marmol. Every homestand, we say, oh, well, hey, this is it. This is the homestand. This is the homestand. You know, hey, this is long homestand. The Royals, the Dodgers, and the Blue Jays, this is where we make it or break it. You know, and before this, when, I don't know, when, I mean, right now, seriously, all the series look the same to me. But every other homestand looks like the one that is going to make or break the Cardinals. And this team keeps on making it. You know, and that series against the Dodgers and then the games, you know, being national and the Dodgers, you know, following everybody follows the Dodgers. I'm not saying the guys put a little extra, but I think they did. And I'm not saying that they don't play their best or their maximum effort with other teams or against other teams. But when you have all that pressure on top of you and when you hear all the stuff that we hear about the Dodgers, you get sick of it. You get kind of like, okay, so all right, cool. You keep talking about them. You want to ask me about them. How about us? Mm-hmm. What about us? You know, like it's like La Bamba when Richie and Bob and everybody's talking about Richie and Bob gets very mad. It's like, what about Bob? You know, I'm not saying we are Bob, but all I'm saying is like, what about us?
Are the Dodgers Richie Valens in that?
The Dodgers could be Richie Valens. They could be Richie. You know, the pretty boy that, you know, that everybody likes him. That, you know, the family and the mom likes him, and even Rosie likes him.
Yeah.
But then what about Bob? And at the end, Bob prevails one way or the other. I know the end is kind of sad. If you have not seen La Bamba, go watch it. Just make sure you don't watch it before you fly.
I think people know the day the music died, the plane.
But they might not know La Bamba. I mean, you and I, we're about, you know, half century. So there's some people that listen to this podcast that might be half century, like La Bamba. What is that?
Mexican? Go see the movie.
Yeah, go see the movie. You know, Lou Diamond Phillips and Isaiah Morales.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the big boppers in it.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a good movie. I like it.
It's a good movie.
Yeah.
What part of that series? I mean, the fact that they won, was it style of play? What part of that series do you think stood out? I mean, Cardinals had to play, they had to pitch so perfectly.
The starting pitching, even with McGreevy, McPunches, I call him, you know, Michael McPunches. He pitched, to me, he did a really good job, right? That the first inning, if you were not here in the stadium, and the way Otani, Mets, and Freeman attacked them early in the game, I thought it was going to be, ooh, this
lasers.
Is going to, yes. Like, pa, 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 Atlanta, you can hear. You can hear the Dodgers were here, and they were here to go home with at least one victory to face the San Diego Padres. In those first, those two innings, any other pitcher, I don't care if you're a rookie or not, and after the way they hit him, they could have folded. You know, say, you know what? I'm just going to go in the third inning, and boom, I'm going to get. And what happened? He didn't. And I love that kid. And yes, I know, oh, how come he's not up here? He will be eventually. The number games is crazy. Any way you put it, any way you see it. And he understands. You know, one of the things that then I talked to him too, he understands. He understands the business of baseball and the numbers of baseball. And I love that. Like I love that he understands. I love that he follows the lead. And he knows that eventually when he gets here, he's going to have the runway. You know, that word, you know, oh, the kids are going to have the runway. Well, he's going to have his own runway. And that's what I like about the series, besides winning 2 out of 3, are our starting pitching and even our bullpen. They came in and they did what they had to do to show the Dodgers and anybody else who still doubts the Cardinals that this team is for real.
Sonny Gray was exceptional. Friday night, he pitched very well. Then he came back, and Fetty found a way.
Yep.
They held the – at one point in time, the Dodgers were 1-for-29 with runners in scoring position. So some of it was – the Dodgers. I mean, the Dodgers had their struggles. But that top of the lineup there, they hit 280 as a group. They did okay, but no damage.
That's the thing. It's like, well, the Dodgers couldn't hit. Oh, yeah, well, you know, the Dodgers were off. How about our pitching was great?
Yeah, credit.
You know?
Big pitches,
like,
big times.
It's half empty, half full. If you believe in this Cardinal team, you're going to say, our pitchers did great. If you're still a naysayer and say, nah, I hate it. I'm not going to go. I'm going to boycott. Then you're going to say, well, the Dodgers, you know, they were terrible. They sucked this series. No, they didn't. You know, look at the first game against the Padres. They go to San Diego. Bah, 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 bah. They killed them with a bat. So it is what it is, right? This is the team that we have. I love the team that we have. Am I surprised of what they're doing? Yes, I am. And I don't think anybody is not surprised. Maybe that clubhouse is not surprised of what they're doing in regards of winning and losing. But I am surprised. And I'm glad they are surprising me. At the beginning of this season, Derek, I didn't know what team we were going to see. I don't know if anybody knew what we were going to see. Now we know. We know that we have a team where the young core, the young players with a lot of help from the veterans are doing what they're doing, and I am enjoying it very, very much.
I'm a believer that if you see it in there, it's in there. So, you know, and you kind of have toggled the expectations of this team or the lens to judge them accordingly. You know, like if they've shown they can play this well, then maybe expect that they can play this well. And know that, you know, eventually the grind of the season gets up to them. They'll have their depth tested. They're going to have this bullpen tested. I mean, they still have to sort out how do they get leads to Helsley. Helsley's got 3 blown saves in this homestand. Though, one run it. And
I know. That's the thing. Yes, I get it. You know, trust me, it hurts me. He's on my fantasy team. But but every time when he comes in, when was the last time he came in with 3 runs?
No, it wasn't. It's all one run.
It's all one runs. All one runs. All one pitch. You know,
it's a ball off a base. It's a ground ball through.
That ball off the base. You know, the ground ball, like, just squeaking by the glove. Or, you know, the home run to the ninth hitter who hasn't hit a home run all season. But it's one run.
He may not have ever hit a pitch that fast.
I don't think so. I think he closed his eyes. He just said, oh, you know, madre mía, ayúdame, pácatela, se fue la historia.
Yeah.
That's exactly what he said.
You guys had a mic down there?
Yes.
How did you call that one?
Well, Benji just said, uh-oh. And all I said, as if I recall, is like, batazo elevado, jardín central para atrás, Victor Scott para atrás, se le acabó el camino, se empató el juego, cuadrangular de los Blue Jays. No, very, very sad, because I was very excited. Now, if you listen to the home run by Alejandro Kirk.
Yeah.
You know, the catcher for the Toronto Blue Jays. And
4 hits. Yeah.
Oh, my God. I mean, he's from Tijuana, Mexico, after all.
Okay.
Just like me.
Sure.
You know, and we were talking on the field.
Well, that's how it happens, 4 hits, and that's it. If you're from there, 4 hits.
That's it. So tonight, expect 4 hits, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day.
That's pretty
so,
good.
Yeah, no, he's that good, you know.
Yeah, and really good.
Now, when he comes up to hit I talked to him before the game. I introduced him to my family, my son, my daughter, who were visiting during those series. And you know, super chill kid, even shy, a shy kid. I mean, he's only like 25, 26, and he's been an all-star. He should be an all-star this this year also. And when he hit that home run, I got a little excited because the Mexican, the Tijuanense, Tijuana in me got excited. But then I'm like, no, don't be excited. Don't be excited. No, you cannot be excited. And I put a little extra excitement in there for an opponent, a hitter. But at the end, obviously, I want my guys to win. I want my guys to win. And I did tell him, hey, you know, you can go 4-for-4, but we win. And he laughed. So at the end, he went 4-for-4, whatever, 4-for-5 with three extra base hits, home run, and they won. But, yeah, no, it's always fun. It's fun.
He brought up Alejandro Kirk, and I wanted to ask you about him, but maybe not just about him. More about, like, all right, what he does, how he hits. Is that Herrera? Are like, are there some similarities between him and Yvonne?
The way they hit, yes. If you put one next to the other,
they look a lot different.
It's kind of like Danny DeVito, going back to movies, Danny DeVito and Arnold Schwarzenegger on Twins. You know? Yeah. Kind of like that. One guy is big and muscular, Yvonne. The other guy is smaller, not muscular at all. At least you don't see the muscles. But as we can see whenever we looked at Toronto, the guy can do it. Mm-hmm. The guy can do it. And I mentioned it during our broadcast. I don't know if you remember. A couple of years ago, there was talk about maybe a trade with them before Wilson came up. Yep. You know, they had a great catch in Gabby Moreno.
Yep.
Moreno.
And Dan Jansen.
Danny Moreno, the Arizona, Danny Jansen, who I don't know where he's at right now, and Alejandro Kirk, mm-hmm. right before the Cardinals signed Wilson Contreras. So I was like, please bring the Mexican. Please bring my guy. Please bring my guy.
Toronto said, we'll discuss, but not Kirk.
And there's a reason why. Right? There's a reason why. The guy can hit. He can play his position. He's one of the best out there throwing out runners. So, yeah, I mean, that's a kid that if you are a kid that doesn't look like an athlete, and trust me, I know what I'm talking about because I don't look like an athlete, and you need motivation, that's the kid that you look for. That's the guy that you look at. I mean, I'm nothing against anybody else. Nothing about against, you know, like Aaron Judge, who's giant and big, or you know, Wilson Contreras or Ivan Herrera. But if you think that you are not going to look like that, even though you work out every day and things like that, look at somebody like Alejandro Kirk. He doesn't look like I was saying about Burley. You know, Burley looks like, yeah, he can do something, but the things that he does on the field, you're like, wow, I love that. I love the way he plays. So those are, to me, those are models that kids should look at when somebody tells you, nah, you're not going to do it. Nah, you're not going to make it. You know, and if you talk to him, he heard that. Yeah. He heard it a lot. I mean, Toronto didn't want to sign him. I don't know if you've read the story, but like,
I'm not.
Basically his scout had to lie to the Blue Jays for them to sign him. And they did for almost nothing out of Tijuana, Mexico. And look at it now.
Yeah.
Look at it now. Yep.
So what do you make of the season Herrera's having as a hitter? Like, what have you seen? I mean, you've known him. We've talked to him for years. He made his debut a couple of years ago. Feels like he's been, you know, he moved from prospect to everyday player. Just was, how is he going to do it? He's been such, when healthy, his return and then Mason's move up to number two in the lineup really is what clicked this team. And then they went on their May run. What have you made of Herrera's season offensively? And where do you put his future defensively?
That's a fantastic question, and that's a question that only time is going to answer. I know I'm not trying to avoid the answer. The answer is he can hit, and he can play. But can he get better at playing? That's the question here. Like, mm-hmm. how much better can he get behind the plate? And if for some reason he cannot be behind the plate, is he going to be as open as a veteran like Wilson Contreras to move, let's say, to first base or move somewhere else? That is the question that we are going to have to answer. When it comes down to batting, I mean, the guy, he looks like a free swinger, like he has no plan. Mm-hmm. And if you ask him, he most of the time says, I have no plan. I see the ball, I hit the ball. And for those that are thinking that, oh my God, well, that's not a way to go, listen to Shohei Ohtani. Mm-hmm. Shohei Ohtani says, I see the ball, I hit the ball. So when you hear someone like Shohei say that, if it works for him, and then Yvonne says it, and you start thinking, well, that's not a way to go. That's not the way to go about hitting. Well, guess what? Last time I checked, Shohei is pretty good. Mm-hmm. And Yvonne can be, I'm not going to say that good, but why not? he can be that good. And we see it. And I just hope he goes nowhere. I just hope that he stays here. And I really hope fans and this organization gives him the time to understand what he can do at the plate while hitting and also while catching.
Have you talked to him about what it means to him to catch? Have you talked to him? I know how close you are with Yadier Molina. I know that you spend a lot of time with the catchers, and you know you got great insight because of all the time Benji. I mean, you're like the you're Molina adjacent, if not part of the Molina family.
I'm the fourth Molina. Yeah. I'm the fourth Molina, and I tell him and I used to tell Yadi, dude, well, I'm the only one with no ring, so hopefully one way I get my ring here in San Luis. And I don't, you probably heard this story, but the main reason, or one of the reasons, the really important reason why Ivan decided to sign with the Cardinals was because of Yadi. He wanted to be a catcher because of Yadi or Molina. And he had a chance to work with Yadi during spring training for a few years. And the first time, and this is not a lie, the first time I heard the name Ivan Herrera came out of the mouth of Yadier Molina while we were doing spring training. Mm. I was there with him. You know, he was doing his hitting, whatever. And then I say, hey, Yadi, you know, you're almost out of here. You know, you have a couple of years. I think this was in 2019 or maybe 2020, right before they shut us down. And I asked him, like, okay, so who's the next? Who is not the next Yadi, but who is the next catcher for the San Luis Cardinals? And he said, he just pointed at Ivan. And I think at that time, he already had number 48. And he's like, that kid, Ivan Herrera, he's been here for a couple of years, and he can be really, really good. Now, it's up to him, right? We know and we see that he works very hard when it comes down to hitting, when it comes down to getting stronger. Now, can he work at getting better behind the plate, or at being a little more focused, being a little more willing to participate in drills and do different things? So things like it happened a couple of times already this season where comes the eighth, the ninth inning, and they bring somebody else because, hey, let's bring somebody else because that other catcher is going to help us maybe shut down the running. Mm-hmm. So can he work enough to get that speed coming out of the catcher's position and throwing to second?
Yeah.
I hope he does. And if he does, he can be a complete catcher. And if for some reason he doesn't, then he will need to understand that, hey, you're a big leaguer. Your bat is big league bat. Let's find you a position to play. Now, if you don't want to do something like that, guess what? Now we have a DH. Yeah. And there's a few DH now in the Hall of Fame. I'm not saying he's going to make it to the Hall of Fame, but I wish he does. And I see that. And it all depends on the way he feels about it and the way he goes about maybe changing that mentality of, well, if I cannot be a catcher every day, am I content? Am I happy being a DH every day? Or can I learn to play first base or somewhere in the outfield?
Yeah.
You know, I like him. I love what he does, what he brings. And I can tell you, and you know this, but you know, people listening out there, he's always willing to learn and to listen. If you treat Ivan Herrera with respect, he's going to show you the best Ivan Herrera that you can see.
Yeah, I get the sense he really understands what it means to play catcher better, to be better at it, and he really wants to. Like I just in talking with him, just you kind of described it. They're like he sees a value in being the Cardinals catcher, and wants to find a way to work with all of his might to be that. I do get that sense. It means a lot to him.
It does. And for the reason that we mentioned, he wanted to be with the Cardinals because of number four, right? Yeah. He didn't want to be with the Cardinals.
Did he choose his number because of four?
I don't know, but I will ask him that because it's four. It's the multiples of four, 48. Yeah. He didn't want to be a Cardinal because of five, you know, or because of six, or because of one. He said, I want to be a catcher. I want to be like that guy. And hopefully he gets there. Hopefully he's still young. He's like, what, 24, 25? And that's the other thing that we forget about this team, Derek. All these guys are like 25 and younger. Like one of the oldest ones besides Nolan and Wilson and Miles Michaelis and let's say a couple of the pitchers, talking about the defense, is Brandon Donovan. He's only 26, 27.
Yeah.
You know, when
and
you,
Lars.
Yeah. So when you talk about those guys being the older guys on your team, it's like this is a really young team. You know, talking about Walker, talking about Gorman, talking about Victor Scott, even Mason Wynn. I mean, the future, I really, and I'm not just selling this because I don't need to sell you something that you can see yourself and listen to it, especially if you can listen in Spanish, wink, wink, la tremenda 880. This team is exciting right now, and I think it's going to be exciting for a long, long time.
What do you make of what Pedro Pajes has done since we're talking about catchers? I don't know how many folks around the Cardinals, even who cover the Cardinals, 18 months ago would have said Pedro Pajes is going to be the everyday catcher. I mean, what he's done this year.
You know, one of the things, and you mentioned it, right? Like when I go to spring training and you see it, I always gravitate towards the young guys, the young guys. And if you're Latino, I will go talk to you. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you do. I want to know what's up. I want to know what's going on in there. Because, you know, the veterans or the guys that have been here for a few years, I know I'm going to have them here at Busch. But the young guys, I want to make sure that they know that once they get to Busch, there's going to be somebody here for them. Mm-hmm. And that was the case with Pedro. Like, we saw him, and I told him, you know, we did an interview with him during spring training. And I told him, like, look, you know, a year and a half ago, nobody knew who you were. I knew who you were because I used to see you on the field, and you kind of reminded me of me. You know, a little pudgy guy that wanted to do the best and wanted to listen and wanted to lead. That's the one thing that Pedro does so great. He leads. He leads it. He talks to Ivan. He talks to Pozo. He talks to even Wilson that, you know, he's not supposed to be a catcher. But he was taking the lead with all of those guys. Mm-hmm. And that's something that we don't see during the game. And what he has done, I'm not going to say it's impressive because he can tell you that he knew that he can do that. But for those like me that didn't know who he was or didn't pay attention of who Pedro Pajes was 2 years ago, it's I love it. You know, I love the way he conducts himself. I don't know. You know, I know your relationship with him is a little different than mine. But if he ever gives you a hug, he's a big hugger. Wilson Contreras, a big hugger. And those guys, when those guys hug you and they tell you and they talk to you and they trust you, that's when you get to know the real person, right? You get to know the person, not just the player. And when I see Pedro, I see somebody, even though he's really young, somebody who is he has a veteran mind.
Yeah.
And the way he conducts himself, I know it sounds like a broken record, but he is a Cardinal. Mm-hmm. You know, he is a Cardinal because he does things right. He talks to his teammates right. And when it's time to listen, he will listen. And when it's time to talk, he will talk.
I don't remember many players who I've covered who have garnered the immediate kind of gravity of respect that Pedro Pajes has from players of all experience levels and from all ages. He has a gravitational presence. People are drawn to him. And if not, he seeks them out in a way that I can run down the whole list. The way Andre Pallante relates to him, the way Miles Michaelis relates to him, the way Matthew Liberatore relates to him, the way a young pitcher comes up and leans on him, Graceffo, you know, the way Sonny Gray relates to him. I mean, Pedro, and you know how close he is to Helsley and Arenado and Nootbaar, and that group is like, it's kind of grown closer. And Pedro's a big part of that. Like, people, they might know the other names better, but it's the personality of Pedro who, in a lot of ways, is, you know, it's a cliche, but is a glue guy. And so to leap it beyond the cliche, I mean, he's just got a really gravitational personality.
He acts like a dad. You know,
he
acts like the team dad. Like, you know, when you have a kid in Little League, soccer, baseball, whatever, and you have the team mom, you know, with the list of, hey, who brings this, the Capri Sun and the oranges today? Who's going to bring this tomorrow? Hey, don't bring peanuts for Jimmy because it's, you know, his allergy. That is Pedro Pajes.
That's good, yeah. I was wondering if he's like a high school counselor in the way that he seems to have answers for everything and might just be the smartest guy in the room.
I don't know if you've noticed, but he
wants to place people in
play. No, he always looks worried. He always looks like he is worried. And I told him, like, whenever, hey, Pedro, how you doing? Oh, we're doing great, Polo. I'm arriba, Polo. How are you? You know, he's always talking like he's tired. I'm like, dude, you just took a shower. You're nice and fresh. No reason for you to be tired. But I mean, it's great to have somebody like that on this team. And to me, even better that he speaks Spanish, you know, because that way I can interview him. I can talk to him. And yeah, I mean, what you said, every single one in that clubhouse, not just the players, but also the coaches, they know that Pedro is there.
Yeah.
You know, if Ivan needs to be reminded of something, Pedro can do it. If Joel Pozo should be reminded of something, Pedro can do it. If he needs to, hey, don't forget, tell Sonny Gray this, he will go do it. Yeah, you know, when he is such a person that he will do the dirty work for you. And people will do it. People will listen to him just because of the way he does it, the way
tremendous
he acts.
Trust.
Yeah, and that's what you want in your catcher. And that's what I was talking about, you know, with Ivan. If he is willing to learn or to work towards that, he's going to be fine.
Yeah.
But the word is willing. How much are we willing to do to get to the next level? Are we content at this level, or do we want to go to another level? And that's what Ivan needs to work on, I think.
Have you had a chance to talk with Wilson Contreras about staying here? About like an idea, you know, they go to him, they said this is the direction we're going to go, and he was among the first to say no, I'm not looking to go elsewhere. They're like, well, you're not going to be a catcher here, so outfielder, first base, which is it? And he goes, I'm still going to stay, and I'll go play first base. Have you talked to him about like what drove that? What's both in talking with him, but also as someone who sees and like your perception of why'd he stay?
It's important. It is important for him to, number one, that first year it was a nightmare. That first year was not ideal for him, and we all know what happened, and you know, some of us know what happened, and some of us have heard what happened, and at the end we all need to make our own ideas. But for him, he was never in doubt. Like, you can say whatever you want of me, I'm not going anywhere because I signed to be here. And it goes back to the desire to be a guy at one point to be the next catcher after Yadier Molina. And we've heard the story how Yadier gave him a jersey. He came home and he put it on and his wife's like, that's the jersey. And then when the Cardinals came calling, even though somebody was offering more money, he said, I'm going to St. Louis. So when he makes that commitment to go from the Cubs, the hated Cubs, mm-hmm. to the hated Cardinals, depending which side are you, why are you thinking about going somewhere else? And he did mention, like you just said, that they asked, hey, this is what we're doing. You want to go? Let's go. We'll find you someplace to go. And no, he said no. And he told me this back in September. Like, Polo, I'm not going anywhere. I'm gonna see you here next year and year after that and year after that and year after that. And he said to me, he's like, look, and I mentioned it the other day in you know, one of those sit downs we had with fans and Mo was there. And even one of the owners of Blake DeWitt III was there. And they asked me something about the catchers and about Wilson. I'm like, look, all I know is Wilson is willing to sign an extension if they offer him one. You know, how do I know? He told me. And I said it in front of them, you know, and people were like, okay. I'm like, hey, I'm not saying they will, but if somebody is willing to stay here and you know that he wants to be here and you can work something, he could be the guy. I mean, he's very passionate. We see it, right? Sometimes even I think he's too passionate. And for me to think that somebody's too passionate, that person has to be like extremely.
Are you talking about the bat flips on walks?
I'm talking about the bat flips. I'm talking about the way he runs. I'm talking about the way he sometimes bumps an accident into the first baseman or second baseman or third baseman. I'm talking about all of that.
About standing 5 feet away from a guy bunting?
About all of that, yes. And he is, and when asked about, I'm willing to die right there.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, we don't want you to die. No.
I kind of like the bat flips after a walk. I got to be honest. I like it.
Derek, it's a battle.
No, I know. You earned the base.
Yeah.
You know.
It's a battle between the pitcher and the hitter.
Yeah.
The pitcher and the hitter. Okay.
And it's genuine. It seems genuine. Like he, you know, it's coming from a place of enthusiasm, mm-hmm. not as a from a place of insult.
No.
So I think it's cool.
No, and that's the thing we learned growing up in Latin America in winter ball. You're a fan of winter ball, and the things that happen, like over there, if somebody hits a home run in a big game, everybody comes out of the clubhouse like they did before. I remember when I was a kid. teams coming out and high-fiving and everything. Now, let's wait inside. Why? Oh, because we don't want the other team to get mad. I'm like, make them get mad. Who cares? This is a game. It's supposed to be entertaining. Mm-hmm. And what he gives you is that entertainment. And he entertains the heck out of me. And Derek, the way he's playing first base, dude.
Exceptional.
Like, the way he's playing first base, he promised me a gold glove in spring training. He promised me, he said, Polo, I'm going for the gold glove. I'm like, you know what? If you are going for the gold glove, we are all going with you. And I'm not saying he is a gold glove winner right now, but he needs to have consideration at least to be in the top three.
Yeah. Well, he's second and outs above average, and he's rakes well with all the metrics and the eyeball test. You see it.
And he stretches. Like, nothing against Goldie, but sometimes Goldie will wait for the ball and we'll wait for the ball and we'll be like, if you only stretch like 6 inches forward. And this guy, it's like he enjoys to stretch. Like, you know, he ends up on the field doing, you know, like push-ups and things like that. He, again, entertaining. He knows that he needs or he wants to entertain you. He wants to make sure that people who came to the stadium, even if we didn't win or if they, the Cardinals, don't win the game, they go home and say, did you see what that play with Wilson Contreras did? That's crazy. And I think that we have the same thing with Nolan. Like, hey, maybe we don't win. Hopefully we do. But if we don't win, I want the fans to remember something, and hopefully something good.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up Nolan Arenado, because that's what I wanted to kind of close with and ask you about. You have Wilson Contreras, who we've talked a lot about, and the fire he brings. You mentioned earlier Nolan Arenado and his defense. Polo, what this team has done, how much do you think it is related to the presence of those two guys? Not the production of those two guys, but the presence. And if the Cardinals had the team that they set out this offseason to have with maybe neither of those two guys, certainly no Nolan Arenado, where's the would you be concerned about the verve of this team, the live of this team? And where they are today, how much do you think that is a reflection of having those two personalities?
To me, the way I see it and the way you ask, it's a progression of the last couple of years, right? The first year, Wilson was here behind the plate. All the problems, all the issues, everybody was like confused. What the hell's going on? What's going on here? Who's saying what? Who's saying this? Who's saying that? Okay. So then last season, he gets injured, broken arm. Nolan is like, what's going on? Goldie's like, what's like? We didn't know what was happening last season. This team was lost last season. So this season, when those two guys come back in, and we have Mason Winn on his, what, second, third season or whatever, same with Walker, same with Donovan, Lars, Victor Scott trying to make the team and come back and stay here forever, I think those two guys, Wilson and Nolan, one in first, one in third, and the willingness, especially of Wilson, to stay and to move positions. And at the end, say what you want. Yes, Nolan had a list. That list didn't work out. The trade to the Astros didn't happen. He decided to stay, you know, because he would have said, you know what? He could have said, okay, I'm going to Houston. Yeah. But he said, no, I'm staying. Regardless, I'm staying. So those two old guys, they are not that old. To me, the rest of the team said, okay, those guys are willing to stay. Now it's up to us to make sure they want to stay even longer.
Interesting.
Without even saying, I'm not saying that they had a secret group chat and they're texting all this stuff. I mean, maybe they do. I don't know. But to me, that's what they are talking about with their way they play. It's like those two guys wanted to stay here. Miles wants to stay here. Sonny Gray, even though he said for now, I want to stay here. Those guys want to stay here. Let's make sure that we have fun with them. And if we play good baseball, perhaps they will stay even longer than just this year, next year, or their contracts. And I love that. Like the young guys are carrying the team, but behind them, pushing them without pushing too hard, is Wilson and Nolan. And you see Nolan. Nolan works hard. He's kind of quiet in the clubhouse, but once in a while, he will smile. He will even do the little birdie, the wings. And Wilson, you know, like slamming people in the head and things like that. That is, to me, that is pure love and pure joy of playing baseball and having fun with it. And this is what the Cardinals in 2025 are. A fun team to look at, a fun team to cheer for. And yes, you know, it's tough and it's a long season. And a lot of people are still thinking, now this is not real. This is not real. Real or not, this is your team. Support them. Because like somebody told me, hey, if you're not here right now when we're struggling to show you that we can be here, then don't come back when we are in September ready to pop some champagne.
So you think it can continue? You think that what they're doing now, you think this can continue?
I feel that, yeah. I mean, we've been lucky, right, that this team has had only five players in the IL the whole season. And one of them is Zach Thompson, and he's been IL for 60 days, and hopefully he gets better soon. But other than that, everybody's healthy. Mm-hmm. And when you have a healthy team, you have the same people over and over and over. That's great. To me, that's great. I mean, yeah, the bullpen, you know, we see Riley one day, Roycroft one day. We see Swanson. We see Fernandez. You know, pieces that come and go. But that's going to stop when those pieces that come and go show up and show that they can be big leaguers for the long run. And when that changes, when that stops, that bullpen is going to be filthy. I mean, I trust JoJo. I trust John King. And, of course, I mean, we haven't talked about another old man, Steven Matz. I mean, the job he's doing.
Impressive.
Yeah, when the young guys see Wilson willingness, Steven Matz willingness, and Nolan, that he could be having a horrible season either with the bat and the glove, he's not doing a great job, or he's not putting the numbers that we know he could or he's done in the past hitting-wise, but with the glove, he's better, I think, than before. Why? I said it already like 10, 15, 20, 30 minutes ago. I think he's trying to say, you know what? The bat is struggling, but there's no reason for my glove to struggle. Mm-hmm. So I love it. I love what Nolan is doing and the way he's doing it and having fun. Having fun with the guys. Having fun, you know, joining the celebrations and then getting water all over the place when he does something great. And it's great. To me, it's refreshing to see a future Hall of Famer having fun. And I don't think the last couple of seasons we saw that. I don't think we 24, 23, Nolan was not having fun. Right now, I think he is. And happy Nolan. It's a happy Cardinals team.
And happy Polo is a tremendous broadcast, right?
I mean, even when I'm not happy, you know, sometimes, and it's life, you know, we wake up and there's some darkness or sadness or whatever. You're missing your family because they're in California and you're in here. But when the microphone is on, the listeners don't care about that. Mm-hmm. They want to be entertained. Mm-hmm. So even though there's some dark days, I make sure that my listeners don't feel it.
Okay, yeah.
And
yeah.
Even when I'm calling the game, the calls could be a little dark and a little more like pessimistic, but I make sure that they don't feel it. You know, I make sure to put that into the game. And it's good to be a good faker once in a while.
Well, I'm glad you put it that way because I was aiming to give you a compliment because of your energy and your enthusiasm. But you make a good point. Like it always has to be there. It always has to be there because, you know, like you mentioned, the players are in the entertainment. You're in the entertainment.
Yeah, it's like if you go to a concert, you know, you go, I don't know, see whoever artist you want to see. You don't care if he has a headache. I'm not saying that you don't care in a bad way. I'm saying it's like
you want to see the show.
Yeah, you pay the ticket. You buy your beer, your peanuts, your popcorn, whatever. You are there to be entertained. Mm-hmm. So if I don't know Jack Johnson or I don't know what you listen to, Led Zeppelin. What do you listen to? Metro Boomin, Drake.
Do you want to just keep guessing?
No, because I know
this is entertaining. No. So, all the listeners are probably, or not all of them, but a good portion of the listeners are screaming right now. What band I like listen to, but.
What do you listen to?
The Black Crowes, Pearl Jam, Soundgarden. Okay. I just downloaded a whole bunch of Blues Traveler. I got my Beatles set. You know who I was listening to yesterday?
No.
A whole bunch of Talking Heads. I went back to their third album. I was listening to that for a lot.
Talking Heads. That song, Vacation.
Yeah. Yes. People ask, like, well, what would your backup music be or something like that? And I'm like, it would be probably Talking Heads, that Once in a Lifetime, because you could play that part. How did I get here? What have I done? Which would be fitting if I were walking toward the plate. That would be very confusing.
I think that's fitting for a lot of people. What have I done? How did I get here? How am I in St. Louis right now when I was born in Tijuana, Mexico?
And this is not my beautiful house.
Yeah. No, I mean, it is. It is. Like, like now I find myself saying, I'm going home. Oh, to California. No, to St. Louis. Oh, you call St. Louis home. Oh, yeah.
Good. Well, welcome.
Thank you. Gracias.
Yeah. All right. That's Polo Asensio, the Spanish language broadcaster, the voice of the Cardinals.
La voz. La voz.
La voz. La voz.
Yeah, the voice is John Rooney. The voice is John Rooney. You know, he's the main guy on the English side.
No, I was going to continue my sentence.
Oh, my bad.
No, it's okay. The voice of the Cardinals on their Spanish language broadcast.
You have to say La voz de los Cardenales en español.
Okay. La voz de los Cardinals en español.
Ahí está, más o menos.
Yeah,
you get a C plus.
Wow.
You should talk to Daniel Guerrero, or you call him Daniel Guerrero.
I talk to him a lot. But yeah, he's great. Though. I'm not fast enough, as you just noticed. I'm not fast enough.
But you're good enough, though.
I can understand it, but I just can't keep up. I need the moment. Like, okay, let me. You put me on the spot to say something, I'll be like lousy.
I'm going to say the same thing I say to a lot of people to you. Once in a while, especially when we're at home, I don't know if you're watching the game on your computer or whatever. Listen to the Spanish.
I do.
Podcast.
You know what? Actually, I do. And I go back and listen to the highlights that you all share, and that the Cardinals sometimes share. Or I go back and listen and know where the spots are. And so I do go back and listen. I'll be honest with you. There's a benefit for me in doing that because of your descriptions, because of your enthusiasm, but also because there are times where you reveal what you've talked to the players about in your calls, and it helps me better understand the players. Not necessarily to write a story about, but always to talk to them about. And like I like to talk to them about like where they're from, what they learned, what they do. And I the more of that I can understand, the better. For me, I covered Yadier Molina from the day he arrived, pretty much, right up here at the same time. And it was always about trying to talk to him about, what's your background? Where are you from? What did you do growing up? And you try to find some commonality there. But you also try to find out, what are the influences on him that I couldn't possibly know being a kid in Colorado while he was a kid in Puerto Rico. Just like he couldn't know about the kid in Colorado. I'm not saying that he would care about the baseball player growing up in Colorado. Maybe, but that he wouldn't know
You'd be surprised.
But I could, relate to him in that way. And it was really important when I went to Puerto Rico to visit that field across the street from his house, because it was like, okay, I'm gonna understand Benjamin Molina, his father, in a way that's different than just asking Yadier about it or asking Benji or Jose about it, because I'm gonna walk in that area and I'm gonna see what they're talking about, and that's important.
Yeah.
And so I see, to take this long tangent back, I see listening to your broadcast as often a window into that I can sneak a peek. And I appreciate that. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. And if I can give you a tip, talk to their mothers.
Oh, yeah.
For real.
Yeah,
like, real. The players' moms. Like, one time we had Janice Bayo, Harrison Bader's mom. We had Mama Flair. Jack Flaherty's mom was there.
Paul DeYoung.
Andrea DeYoung. She was there. And we had, we had Giovanni Gallego's mom. Like, they love it, right? They love it because, one, not a lot of people put the spotlight on them, and some of them don't want it. And then you talk to them, and they tell you different stories, and they tell you different things. And you know, that's where I get a lot of my stories, when I have a chance to tell a story.
Yeah.
But like you said, I don't talk much about baseball with the guys anymore. Let's talk about life. Let's talk about where you're from. Let's talk about what you like to eat. Let's talk about what you like to drink. Let's talk about what's your favorite color, things like that. And that's stuff that I think the listeners enjoy, because the baseball is there. You know, ball, strikes, home run, hit, double, whatever. But where's Wilson Contreras from? I mean, like Ivan Herrera. His dad had a machine shop. And like Ivan Herrera knows how to change oil and how to change a radiator from a car and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't talk to them and somehow ask them something like that, you won't know.
Yeah.
So now what happens that if you're listening in Spanish, you know that. Mm-hmm. You know what that story, you know that. And tip for you, if you see them on the streets or if you are at Busch or a different stadium and you say something about cars, or in the case of Ivan, there's a chance he will stop and talk to you about cars. And while he's talking to you about cars, maybe he'll sign you a baseball.
There you go.
You know, things like that. But anyway, Derek, thank you so much.
That's information you can only get from Polo Asensio. Right. Polo, thank you so much for joining me. This has been great.
Este fue el mejor podcast en béisbol con Derek Gould y Polo Asensio. Hasta la próxima.
You can listen to Polo Asensio and former catcher and Cardinals coach Benji Molina on WIJR 880 AM in St. Louis. That's where the Spanish language broadcast of the Cardinals home game lives, and you can also stream it off of the Cardinals website. You can find the best podcast in baseball wherever you get your podcast, seriously, just wherever, or you can set up an alert and get it from iTunes, where you can also rate and review the podcast. Please do rate and review the podcast and subscribe. Subscriptions make sponsorships possible, and sponsorships are why the podcast can be a weekly podcast here wherever you're listening to it, and of course at stltoday.com. That's where you can find the constant Cardinals coverage. It's also available in the pages of the Post-Dispatch. For Polo Asensio, huge thanks to him, and what a joy it was to talk with him and to get the insight from him. I'm St. Louis Post-Dispatch baseball writer Derek Gould. Talk to you soon from the road.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Granger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Granger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRANGER, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Styles McKenzie helping you make those rooms sing. Today's style tip. When it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild, like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Arr, fierce. This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.